Good evening, everyone. It's Adam from Uprefort 24 again with my 25th stop off now on the Welcome to Scotland tour. However, I've got to be honest, I've left Scotland today and come to England. And to be fair as well, the club isn't too far from the English border, but I'm with the Lincolnshire Gallabankies. Gallabankies, have I got that right, guys?
Yeah, that's
I'm getting thumbs up all over today. But yeah, searching around on Twitter, I find out that Annan Athletic, a club that I followed ever since, you know, from a distance, shall we say, since they joined the professional leagues way not too far back. But then there's a Lincolnshire supporter group, so I can't wait to find out why, where, and what the guys actually think about Scottish football. So I'm going to go around the room. Can you introduce yourselves and let me know how long you've been following the mighty Annan, the mighty Gallabankies? Paul, shall we start with you?
Right, okay. So I'm Paul Droborough. I'm kind of the oldest of the group, and I'm also the driver, designated driver. I studied at a university in Scotland, so I've followed Scottish football for more than 25 years. But in terms of Annan, we've probably when was the wedding?
2016.
Yeah, so five years this year, we've all been kind of taking a much closer interest.
The wedding.
Well, we'll come to that in a minute.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, then. Come on then. Right, over there, I saw a hand up. Jump in.
Who's that, me?
Who's that?
It was you.
Yeah, I'm me.
I'm pointing.
I'm Phil Morley. Yeah, same as Paul, really. I didn't go to university in Scotland. Believe it or not, I didn't go to university. So,
went to school.
I didn't really know. it was 2016, really. And like we say, we'll come to the story of how we all started following the mighty Annan. But yeah, it's an interesting one, I suppose. That's it, really. But like I say, we're all from the mighty Lincoln, and we'll obviously talk about that as we go along, really. So,
right over to Sarah. Sarah,
oh, hello.
She's got much longer and curlier hair than me. So I'm Graham Driborough. So bobblehead at the bottom is my elder brother. Excellent designated driver. Puts up with some right antics in the car. The car bar opens on the way up about 7:30 in the morning. We have the cross-border cocktail roulette when we get to the border. And in the bag, what are we going to end up with? And we're normally well cooked by the time we meet Colin up in Annan. As boys have been saying, we're all Lincoln born and bred. We're all Lincoln City fans. We've got to, I guess the old Annan thing, I think Phil's going to come to more in a minute. But I think it's 25 years ago, Paul, we went to watch Lincoln City in a pre-season friendly up in Forfar. So Paul, as he said, was up in Stirling University. Mm-hmm. Lincoln were playing a friendly up there. I disappeared up there, went with one of his friends. I think it was just sort of the shit settings, and yeah, the football wasn't great, but it was really enjoyable. Terrible. It was taking us back to the days where we really used to love football in our youth. We'd all got a bit disillusioned with the whole Premier League thing. We'd followed Premier League clubs in the past, and it was just fancy a bit of this. I had this desire to go to the Scottish Second Division games for a long time. Queen's Park was always one, with them being at Hampden. Mm-hmm. East Stirling, with them being the worst team in the league for so many years. It was just one of those, come on, let's go and watch these boys. And then the sort of 15 years later, the whole stag do, where do we go? Budapest, Vienna, Prague? No. Let's get up to Annan.
Not a problem.
And we had a fantastic weekend, but so we'll come to that a bit more in a bit.
Okay, then. Finally then, Colin, over to you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, hi. So I'm Colin Green. I'm actually based in Scotland. I actually live in Ayrshire, so round about 70, 80 miles away from Annan Athletic. Like the rest of them, I was on the stag do when we first went to Gallabank. But as I have, as I'm just based up the road, I've been able to go a little bit more frequently. I think after the stag do, the first game I went to was Clyde at home at the start of 2019. And I just kept, just kind of get, that was when I started to go regularly. And then, you know, when the lads decided to make it more of a regular thing, you know, coming up from England, we started up the Twitter account, and I basically I man that, and we seem to have made a few friends at the football club thanks to the Twitter account.
Wow.
Somehow,
bit
yeah.
Of cult.
Yeah. I work in Ayrshire. I work as a food scientist, and I basically come to the home games. I did buy a season ticket this year, thinking that we might be back to normal come November just gone. But it doesn't look like we're going to get to any games this season, unfortunately. So we're going to have to keep our fingers crossed for next season, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I think we'll come on to that a little bit later. It's a big frustration across the globe. Actually, incidentally, out here in Ukraine, they finally let the supporters back in yesterday for the Europa League games. It was the first time in about 4 or 5 months. Sadly, though, minus 15, I think there was only about 200 people that brave. Yeah. It's about as cold as a night out in Annan, I'd imagine. So, yeah, you all said then, I assumed you all supported other clubs originally. Was it then this disillusionment with all things Premier League and that kind of drove you towards this, or was there something else behind it?
Yeah, if I used to have a season ticket at Man United for my sins, and growing up in the 80s, like me and Bert were talking, Graham were talking about it earlier, Lincolnshire's not really a hotbed of football, where Lincoln's on its own in respect, and the nearest big club, if you like, is obviously Lincoln a big club now, is Forest. And so growing up in the 80s, most people, there was like Liverpool, Everton, Man United, and that was about it really, wasn't it, growing up at school. Yeah. And I started supporting United in 85, and then there was a few barren years, Ferguson kicked in, and I had a season ticket. I went all over Europe watching United. But again, like you said, it got to the late 90s, and I just started thinking, I was sort of early 20s, I wanted to go out and drinking, having a laugh with my mates, and I love going to the game and having a beer with your mates, but when you get to the game, it was just like no atmosphere, and it was sort of like I'm not paying, I wasn't enjoying it really. So I'd always sort of dipped in and out of Lincoln City, if I'm honest, prior to that, and then we started going like late 90s, wasn't it, Bert? 98, 99. We had a few minibuses and all the lads got together, and we had some great times. And yeah, we all started, Graham was the same, he'll tell you in a minute. But yeah, the disillusionment, like you say, with the money that was coming into the game, even back then, I know they talk about it now, but I think it started with Sky really, with 92, 93, when Sky took over. It just sort of started spiraling out of control then for me. Sort of moving away from the working class sport that we'd all fell in love with, really.
Is that the same for you, that to say, Graham Paul in particular, they're still down in Lincoln? Same for you, was it?
Yeah, so I'm based in Nottingham now. So I moved here 5 or 6 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago now. But I was Liverpool at school. So me and Paul had a sibling rivalry. He was Man United. But then I meet Phil when I'm 11 at secondary school. He becomes my best mate when I'm about 14. So best part of 30 years, and we have the rivalry. And it was really bitter between us at school. We were great mates, but it was all the only thing we fell out of was football. But
occasionally, occasionally,
but not very often. And it was the same thing. I'd go all over the country. I didn't really follow Liverpool across Europe too much, but we weren't in it half the time back in the 90s. But it was just, it's one of those things. Wimbledon at home, who was bothered? And it should be a big occasion every single home game, and it just wasn't. You'd have 2 or 3 games a season that the place would be bouncing, and it just got to a point where the money took over, the interest. We're out-of-town fans, but the number of out-of-town fans and the cost of it all, and it spiralled out of control. And still, I think it was 96, 97, 98, around that time, we started following Lincoln again more. we've got a great group of lads together with the lads who came on the stag do. That was probably the first time I'd seen some of those guys in 10 years, but we've got the same group of lads together. We used to go everywhere with Lincoln with on a minibus, and it was like old times. Loved it and just wanted more of it.
So how many are there of you that travel up then? Well, designated driver, yeah. Pressure's on. Yeah, do you keep count?
Well, I mean...
you can't get 12 in a Corsa.
Well, I was going to say, like, recently there's been, what, four of us in the car plus Colin meeting us in Annan. But when we first started going, I ended up driving a minibus. And a minibus full of idiots going to watch Annan when you're the only one who's not drinking and you're having to drive, concentrate on the M6. It's not fun. I mean, it is fun, but not in the driving sense.
Yeah, we can't tell you about all the antics going on in the back of the bus.
Oh, no. This is
a family show.
I mean, yeah. In fairness, though,
we'll pretend about... it is. It's not normal.
To be honest, I'm used to it. I don't mind doing it because, I mean, previously, as Phil will know, I've basically driven a minibus to Cheltenham races every year for about 6 or 7 years with about the same number of different blokes sometimes doing. Actually, my cousin Phil's wife used to help me with the driving, but. Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah. It's fine. Somebody's got to do it. Might as well be me. Let the idiots have their fun.
4-hour journey becomes 5 because of the amount of piss stops there, doesn't it? That's half the problem.
Yeah, illegal stops in the emergency reservoir on the M42. Yeah, well
done. Oh, fantastic. Colin, I mean, you obviously based up in Scotland.
Yeah.
What are the people, whereabouts, you said you're in Ayrshire, are you in Ayr or Kilmarnock? Or?
I'm just outside Kilmarnock. So, in fact, my fiancé's family are all big Kilmarnock supporters. And
how do they take it then, you travelling down to Annan? And
I think they're slightly amused, I think, the fact that I've picked this... this team to adopt as my own in Scotland. Certainly my father-in-law, father-in-law-to-be anyway, he is actually going to join us when we can get back in, because I've told him all about, what it is that really attracts us to Gala Bank. And obviously we'll come on and talk a bit more about that, as we move on. But it's much more than just the football, I think, that I enjoy about it. It's the community spirit, it's the friendliness of the people at the ground, how cheap it is as well. I mean, you know, I went to I'm a lifelong Lincoln City fan. I've also been to see Premier League clubs. I mean, I followed Queen's Park Rangers for a time as well, when I lived in London, when they were in the Premier League. And as Phil says, you know, the money that's in the game now, it's not just even in the Premier League. It's even in Lincoln's League, in League One. I mean, you're talking £26 to get into football. And I think that is a lot of money for third tier football. And I think the experience is a little bit more sanitized than when I started going as a kid. And I think that's the reason why I fell in love all over again, when we went to Annan, because it was like a blast from the past. It kind of brought us back time a little bit. You know, it was pay at the turnstile, very cheap, pie and a Yorkie and a Bovril, pint at half time, or several, in Phil's case anyway.
in our case.
Yeah. But it felt more real. And certainly, being based in Scotland, it's certainly more real, and it's even more enjoyable than, say, going to Kilmarnock. I say that very, very quietly, because my fiance is in the room now, but there we are. But it is. I mean, all said and done, it's just such an enjoyable experience.
I can only imagine. I have to ask you as well, quickly, have you noticed sort of that overarching reach of the old firm, even in Kilmarnock, also down even in Annan, maybe they seem to be everywhere as I talk to clubs.
Regardless of where you are in Scotland, you're going to get Rangers and Celtic shirts wherever you are. I mean, it does, speaking to Kilmarnock supporters, you know, around here, it does get on their nerves when they see, you know, a blue shirt or a green and white hooped shirt when, you know, there's a perfectly good football club just local to them. And that's the same in Annan as well. I mean, to be fair, you know, the one of the pubs that we like to go in Annan, it has got Rangers and Celtic shirts up in the, you know, framed, but it's also got an Annan shirt in it as well. So I think it embraces, you know, both your local club and the old firm.
Ah, very.
We just need to get a Lincoln City shirt up in there, don't we?
Absolutely.
that's going up on the next trip, I hope. Right, gents. Who's the historian out of you four?
Bottom.
Professionally me, yeah.
All right then, yeah. Paul. Come on then. 2 minutes. What's Annan's story? Bring us up to today.
You mean our story with Annan or
no? No, Annan's story in general.
Oh God, right. I don't know about that then. I mean, it's obviously, as you say, it's a new club, isn't it? Effectively, when I was in Scotland, it didn't exist. I don't know. Actually, Gretna didn't exist when I was there either. It's obvious. I couldn't tell you its history. In fairness, I mean, it's. I'm not sure. Colin, do you know?
79 years old, aren't they? Yeah, is that right?
No, but in professional leagues, I mean.
They joined the league in 2008, 2009.
There you go.
Then. Yeah, that's right.
4-1 win against Cowden Beef. Read that one today.
Yeah, well done.
Hey, well done.
In the first game.
You checked the Wikipedia page, didn't you?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Absolutely.
As I did as well.
Yeah.
No, I mean, obviously, Annan were the last of the elected clubs before the pyramid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, perhaps Paul, as to say, you were up there when you were at university and that. Have you noticed the change in Scottish football at all? And with Annan being the last of the elected clubs, do you think it's helped the league too? You know, with what's going on.
I mean, I think so, because obviously when we were there, I was living in Stirling. Stirling were often in the other, what is now League One or League Two, and East Stirling, of course, up the road, were perennially bottom of the pyramid or whatever. And you quite regularly, you know, the Highland League teams, particularly, you know, we're doing quite well in cup games, you know, taking down some big sides, and you can imagine their frustration of never being able to get in the league. So at least now you have that turnover, that potential churn of teams. Although again, it's frozen a bit, hasn't it, recently? Cove have come in, Peterhead have come in, Elgin have come in, obviously Edinburgh City have come in from the Lowlands, but it's not, yeah, I don't know, yeah, I mean, it's definitely more dynamic now, I think, than, you know, the smaller teams with a bit of history behind them, you know, obviously Cove and, you know, Elgin, they've obviously got a bit of history behind them too. I mean, obviously, as Colin says, the real issue with a lot of Scottish football is the predominance of the old firm. Yeah. I mean, I had friends at university from Dundee and Aberdeen, for example. And, you know, you could talk about Dundee and Dundee United then. They've got no national, sort of no UK profile anymore, do they, really? Sky will show games from the SPFL, but they're not going to show you Hamilton against Livingston, are they? Unless it's a cup game, like a semi-final game. They'll only show you if it's got Rangers or Celtic, effectively.
Which is a shame. It is a shame.
It is. I mean,
we're actually very lucky to get...
There we are, Colin, we lost you for a second there, mate.
To get, hang on.
You're back.
All right, am I back now? Sorry about that. slight technical issues. No, we were actually very lucky to get Queen of the South against Queen's Park on BBC Alba.
Exactly, BBC Alba's the place to go.
That's if you're going to get any slight lower league, then you'll get it on BBC Alba.
Yeah.
Fair dues. All right, then. I did put you on the spot there with a bit of a club history there. What's your history then? Come on then. Let's hear the story.
Go on, Phil. Well, Phil will take that one.
Go on, Phil, go for it.
Okay, yeah. So Graham has been with, how long have you been with Sarah now? So Graham is now
8-9 years and we got married 5 almost. Yeah.
So he announced a year before that he was getting married, and he was like, all right, okay, so me and Graham have been best mates since school. He very nicely asked me to be his best man. So obviously the main duty is sorting out the stag do, isn't it? So, we asked him what he wanted to do. He was like, do you want to go abroad or whatever? And he said, oh, no, quite fun to go to watch Scottish League 2 game. Okay, mate, yeah, nice one. So we thought, well, let's have a look at it. So we decided to book a weekend away in Newcastle and then find out, we booked it. So there was, I think, Newcastle races was on the Friday night. So we went up there Friday, in the evening. But we were looking at the closest Scottish lower league game, that we could get to, basically. And I think Berwick Rangers, are they now defunct? Is that right? Or
no, they got relegated.
They were still in the league at that point, but they were away. So basically, the closest one we could get to realistically was Annan. So we thought, right, okay. So we go to Newcastle on the Friday night, have a night at the races. Saturday morning, we'll jump over to Annan, go to Carlisle. It's about, what was it, an hour and a half on the train?
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
And so we thought, sod it, let's do that. And no, rang all the lads up and say, right, Rob, Bert Stag do. Off to Newcastle, we're going to go watch Annan. Who? Like, what's all that about? Who is this you talk of? Right, fair enough. So, our mates are all idiots as well. So, we thought, oh, yeah, sod it. I'm in for a crack. We had a good, we had a delayed trip up to, I think Paul was designated driver in a minibus.
We were in the minibus, weren't we?
We were in the minibus for about 5 hours. We missed the first race at the racing because the traffic. Oh, God, yeah. Shit. And we basically got to Newcastle, got changed, quickly got to the races, had a bit of a night out in Newcastle, a quiet one because obviously he was there for the weekend. And then Saturday came, we got in the morning to train to Carlisle to start with.
Frankie and Benny's beer breakfast first.
Oh yeah, Frankie and Benny with the most terrible smelling sausages in the world. Oh, yeah. Anyway, we got to the train station, and a lad called Chief, who is an absolute hero in Lincoln. He's like a Lincoln legend, a bit of a drinker, let's say. He bought, what was it, 12 cans of Strongbow for like a 1.5 hour train journey. And we were like, oh, he's never going to drink them. And he nailed the lot. What the? Anyway, we got to Anna, and we got to Carlisle Station, got to change. He bought another 4-pack. He had them as well in about 10 minutes or whatever it was. Right. So by the time the game came, we got video footage of him at the game, which is hilarious. Maybe you can send that over at some point. But yeah, he was bladdered. But basically, like you said earlier, Adam, it was sort of like you said about pinning the map. It was really who was the closest game to where we were. And that's how it started, really. And like I say, since then, unfortunately, I haven't been able to get as much as I'd like to because Lincoln have been doing so well as well. Me and my wife, my wife's a big Lincoln fan, and the family have all got season tickets. So I've always been a bit begrudging the miss a Lincoln game sort of thing. But yeah. It was an interesting weekend, wasn't it, Graham?
He doesn't mind when they're losing, Adam.
Of course, mate. Of course.
We had lost for ages, mate. You know what I mean? It's all,
Except for Sunderland, we're not counting that.
Yeah. It's a draw.
One piece of information he's not told you is that Phil is married to our cousin.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we're all a bit. Yeah.
You're allowed to marry your cousins, but we didn't in this case.
I'm not related to them, by the way. I'm not related in any way. We're not from Boston. We're from Lincoln. No. So it's a bit different.
There's only five, Adam. There's only five.
I am counting. So obviously, you had a great day out there. What was it about the club, though, that made it so memorable?
Oh, can I just say something else about it? Yeah, so when we went up there, we had a great day out. And obviously, as a bloke, you think, oh, what would your mate want for a wedding present? So it's like, oh, yeah, side shirt of the Annan, I don't think the wife appreciated it too much. But anyway, so I went up to the club shop. It was sort of like a porter cabin. I went up and I got chatting to the ladies in there. They were so friendly, like, really. I said, look, it's my mate Stag do. I was wondering if you could get a signed shirt. So, oh, yeah, we've got one. So they sorted that out for me, so I got that framed and gave it, presented it at the wedding. I think you might, maybe Sarah was a bit disappointed with the wedding present, but hey-ho. But
I think she was more impressed with Randolph the Scarecrow.
Oh yeah, Randolph Scarecrow. But the thing is, I think it was a friendliness of the club as well. It's like everyone, we were talking earlier, me and Graham were talking, if we'd have gone to sort of like, say, for example, a Scottish Premier game, like Hearts or Hibs or at the time, although it would have been a great occasion, you know, it was like, it's a massive city and, you know, you wouldn't have felt part of it. But we were in the pub before the game and the guy who owned the pub, or we didn't know it was him at the time, he pulled that up outside and said, "Where are you going, lads? We're off to the match." He said, "Jump in, I'll give you a lift." And he actually was a director of the club. And he gave us, like a group of us, a lift to the ground. And we got chatting to him. He was a real sound bloke, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then bizarrely, six months after the wedding, my mum and dad were on a Caribbean cruise. And this is relevant, by the way. They were on a Caribbean cruise and they got off at
I thought you were just blagging then.
Yeah, Phil, I haven't got it. Margarine story, Phil.
No, I'm not going to tell a margarine story. Anyway, they got off at some random little, you know, place. They're having a coffee in, you know, in some cafe. And they got chatting to this couple and they were Scottish. And my mum and dad said, "Oh, where are you from?" I said, "Oh, you just a little town in Scotland. You probably never heard of it." "Oh, go on, try it." I said, "Oh, Annan." "Oh, that's funny. My son went there on a stag do recently." I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah." We said, "Well, I'm the club, well, one of the directors." And he said, "Really?" And it happened to be the bloke that I'd actually got the shirt off at the club. It was unbelievable. Of all the places, and my mum, obviously, mum and dad had never met the guy before. It was unreal. So, yeah, I think it was all the family feel of it, not the family feel, but, you know, the friendliness of it all. You know what I mean? It was sort of, you know, people probably look at it and think, "What are these bloody English idiots doing here?" But they, you know, they were sort of like, I think they were quite amused at first. Why anyone would want to go to a stag do to Annan? But yeah,
to this day, everybody's just totally amused by our antics, and it's, you know, certainly there's a lot of people that tweet us on the on the Twitter account, and I think I mean they're obviously dead grateful that we go and support the club, but I think they are just totally bemused by by what we do. But long may it continue.
I mean, I have to ask, you mentioned there about that. I mean, how small is Annan?
Where are you from? Sorry, Annan. You're from Birmingham, aren't you?
Oh, I'm from Tamworth.
Tamworth? Oh, well, yeah. God.
Smaller than Tamworth.
Well, it's like a village, isn't it, really? It's not much bigger than a village that's got three or four pubs in, hasn't it? It's not.
Slightly bigger than that, but it's...
Yeah, well,
talking about 10,000 people, something like that.
Yeah.
I'll get on really Wikipedia, Adam.
I'm looking at it now. Don't worry about it.
There we go. Let's get it up.
8,620.
So it's tiny.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's tiny, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the village I live in Lincoln's bigger than that, to be fair, isn't it, I think? So,
I don't think it is. Well,
Welton will be.
Well, Welton and Dunham together, probably.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, digress. I've been talking to fans of other clubs in League Two as well whilst doing this series. Now, Annan, as a club, as the supporters there, they've got a reputation of liking a drink. Is it true? Or is it just... They went to a game when you guys were there and it was you they saw drinking.
Yeah, that could be it, I think. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those places when you go in the we go in the clubhouse before the game in the bar, and you see the same faces because it's the same blokes there all the time. There's a lot of older guys in there. Yeah. They're sound. They're great. They probably don't remember what they've said to us, and we've no idea what we said to them because by the time we get there, we're battered. But it's guys have said it, it's so warm, it's friendly, it's got a community feel to it. You can have a laugh with people all around. We've had the head of security guy there coming and taking us for videos inside the clubhouse with the crest on the carpet and all that sort of thing. Mid game, come on guys, do you want a little tour around and we'll take a few photos and whatever else. Where I've communicated recently, we sponsored one of the players this season, even though it looks like we're not going to be seeing out the season. We sponsored his shirt, Sparky Mark Doherty. So we've done that to support the club, and the gratitude we get from those guys, the amount of emails we get. There's the social media monster that we've been talking to. He set us up a Galabankies logo and all that sort of thing. It's just the whole feel about everything. It's just so. It's so intimate. It's great. It's, it, It's just really, really nice.
Yeah,
Colin said it before. It's taken us back to 30 years ago when we were young boys watching Lincoln and the enjoyments nice. There.
It's nice to be appreciated as a fan. You know, I know we're obviously not fans as such, but do you know what I mean? As you know, if you're doing that for a Premier League club, they wouldn't bat an eyelid, would they? You know, it was sort of, you know, so I think that's the thing. And yeah.
And I've got to ask you, we recently, we put out a podcast with some of the guys, guy by the name Marco Santoni, he's involved with community engagement, spectator engagement at FIFA. And he's arguing quite strongly that clubs, in particular at the top level, really need to reevaluate how they treat supporters and the role and the model of the community club, which Alan seems to represent, is the way to go. I'm listening to you, I think you probably strongly agree with that.
Is that if I go? I was just thinking, from a Lincoln City point of view as well, we've obviously had first-hand, you know, experience of that recently with what happened with the Cowleys coming in. You know, when we 2016-17, when we was in the conference, they managed to get the community back involved and the club were on board with it, and the whole city got behind the club. And it was sort of, you know, as you know, at the time, it was just a crazy season, and we got to quarterfinals, the FA Cup, mm-hmm. as the non-league club. And I think the thing is, that's, you know, that's what so many clubs could do that, but they just take the fans for granted. And I think the thing is with Lincoln City, the fans now, even though, you know, the Cowleys have gone now, they embraced it, and the board are still on board, you know, still trying to do that. And I think a lot of clubs, like you say, should you know, sort of really try and focus on that, really, because at the end of the day, you know, football's nothing without fans, as we're seeing now. You know, I really believe Absolutely. That.
Go on, then. Give these social media guys up, Anna, a shout out. So anybody listening, who should they get in touch to get a lesson in how to treat fans from?
So the guys I've been told, so Andrew Poole is the guy who's the he's been named the social media monster. So he's pulled together the our logos and whatever else. We've got was it David Whiteman, who's the club chaplain, I believe, who is the guy who showed us around. He's taken a few photos of us. I don't know Neil's surname, but
Neil Irving.
Neil Irving. So I was originally engaging with. Yeah. With Neil, and who was the other guy? John Peel. There's a name for you.
John Peel?
Really?
Yeah. 5 years ago, mate.
No, it's
quite one from some bizarre bloke from Afghanistan playing the tuba. Yeah, there you go. That's John Peel.
His last email to me was quite entertaining. It has John Peel, finance director, and lots of other things, whatever's going or something along those lines. But it's just like humour in there as well from the director of a football club, and you wouldn't get that from even from a Lincoln City level.
No. Oh, that's brilliant. All right, guys, I do have to ask you, it'd be interesting actually being English like me. What's your views on how the media sort of portrays Scottish football? Do you think it gets a fair crack in the media, both sides, the border in Scotland and in England? I mean, Colin, maybe you can give us the Scottish take, and then, boys, you can give us the English side down here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting one because, I mean, up here, you know, in the sort of national press and the tabloids, most of it is dominated by Rangers and Celtic, and then, you know, the rest of your write ups or the rest of your spaces in the tabloids are probably about your Kilmarnocks, your Hearts, your Hibs, your St Johnstones. There's not really an awful lot of write-ups about lower league or about the junior leagues. But having said that, there are some really good Twitter accounts out there who do try and cover, you know, all aspects of Scottish football. The Pye and Bovril, I should mention the Pye and Bovril account, actually. He is... whoever it is that runs that knows his stuff. It's really, really good. And on BBC Scotland as well, there's The View from the Terrace, which covers, you know, all aspects again. and they're, you know, their fans. I mean, I think that the guy that kind of hosts that is, I think he's a Stenhouse Muir fan. There's a guy on there that he appears every now and again. I used to work with him, Robert Borthwick. He's a massive Heart of Midlothian fan, knows his stuff about, you know, all of the Scottish game, all of the English game, just knows his football inside out. Hi, Rob, if you're listening. Yeah,
name dropper. we'll send it to him.
Yeah. But I think the lower leagues are certainly, you know, they're getting a bit more coverage slowly but surely through those channels.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been great, hasn't it? It's one of the sort of benefits I've found with during this COVID era that we've all lived through, is the sort of growth of social media channels and fan podcasts, fan sites and that, where people have been able to promote their clubs a lot more, done a lot, you know, took on the initiative when everyone's been sort of, you know, in quarantine and the like, not being able to do stuff. So things up this way. Now, guys, obviously you're based south of the border. What do you think with the English press? Do you still think there's maybe a little bit of arrogance there at all coming in still?
I think it's an arrogance generally to Scottish football. And I think it's a lot of it's the whole England-Scotland piece and the rivalry over the years and everything else. But there is just, you know, whether it's Scottish Premier League, would Celtic and Rangers survive in the Championship is the sort of thing that's discussed when off the border you've got Celtic and Rangers fans saying we'd be challenging for Europe if we got your money and all that sort of stuff. So I think down here, other than, as Colin says, you got your social media channels, and because we look and we actively join accounts. I've joined Gala Ferradine Rovers and a few others over the last few days, following some of these guys and looking at like the Annan account and FC Köln following them in Germany and all this sort of thing and how excited they get about all these things. But from a media perspective down here, there's literally nothing you would see on lower league football in Scotland. You get Soccer Saturday because it's on Sky Sports, and the scores are coming through, and that's pretty much all you'd ever hear about it for me.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Stelling does a good job, doesn't he? Jeff Stelling appears to have done some research. So when he's presenting Soccer Saturday, he can talk about some of the players that are scoring some of the clubs a little bit.
Absolutely.
Not a massive, but it, you know, credit to him. He actually makes an effort.
I mean, I read Jeff Stelling's book, a book he wrote years ago, and he was saying how he used to, like, literally study things like that. Like, you know, he used to do all his research and stuff. But, it's non-existent in the mainstream media, you know, other than Celtic and Rangers. You don't hear any of it, you know, about Scottish football. And, you know, I know I'm English, obviously, but I get frustrated with the English attitude towards other countries, especially Scotland. And it's a bit, you know, derogatory, you know, that, you know, I know it might go against the grain, but I like to see the Scottish national team do well. You know, I really do. And, you know, when they do well, I think, you know, it's, I sort of relate more to other countries' fans more than England fans. That might be a controversial thing to say as an English person, but, you know, I look at like Scottish fans and Irish fans, and, you know, I actually think I'd rather go on an away day with them than I would with an away day with England. I really would. And, you know, that to me, that's how I feel about it. And, you know, good luck to Scotland. I think, there's this thing about hatred between England and Scotland, but I don't have that at all.
Obviously, I'm living up here in Scotland. My mum and dad, my mum's Scottish, my dad was Irish. So I'm kind of a bit of a mongrel, really, when it comes to all three nations. But I think the older I've got, I'm a Northern Ireland fan first, really, because of my dad. And then I would look out for Scotland. I don't take an interest in the England national team at all. I think as I got older, I just felt so disconnected with the England national team. I just didn't feel it belonged to me at all. It wasn't my team. And yeah, I think Phil's right in what he's saying as well. It's that there is an arrogance there a bit, but it's great to see. I mean, it's great to see that the Scots have qualified for the European Championships as well, providing obviously it goes ahead.
Yeah, fingers
crossed. It's not saying that I don't support England when we're in the big tournament. I want England to win it. Obviously, I do. I'm not going to deny that. But I just look at some of I know it's not as bad as it used to be. But when I look at some of the behaviour of the fans over the years, and don't get me wrong, I've
we can band yourself. Yeah, we know.
We've all walked. You know, I shut up. But then what I'm saying is, though, sometimes England fans, you're like cringing, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, here we go. Here come the tables. Here come the chairs. You think, oh God.
Comes out.
You look at Scotland and, like you say, Northern Ireland. They go abroad and they
hello.
Oh, hello, mate.
Hey, we've got an extra guest. The next generation of the Lincolnshire Gallabank is Jordan.
He can't hear you, but this is Oliver, Adam.
Nice to meet you, Oliver.
And you know everybody else, don't you?
My God,
you give them a wave. Say night night.
Night night.
You say night night, guys.
Night.
Love you, mate. See you later.
I forgot chucking chairs and tables about one. But yeah.
Can't believe you're still up.
From where I was now.
Hi.
Yeah, anyway. But yeah, I just feel that sometimes, you cringe, don't you, when you see some of the behaviour of the England fans and the attitude, I think. Scotland and Ireland and Northern Ireland and even Wales to an extent. They go abroad and they have a good time, but they don't, they make friends with the locals and have a crack and that. And I think that's lacking sometimes with the English fans. And yeah.
I think there's a whole thing around the Scottish lower leagues and Annan in particular as well. It doesn't matter, like Edinburgh City, there was Mr. Blobby and first time we went, Mr. Blobby and six other people from Edinburgh, whatever the case was. But Clyde brought a few lads down with them and Cowden Beath we've been to see. They're coming into the club before and you're having a laugh and a giggle before the game. Whether it was watching Lincoln, Liverpool, whoever the case, it may be kicking off somewhere in those circumstances for no reason whatsoever. But we're having a laugh, we're having a joke. We had some Retford lads, which is just down the road from Lincoln, and they were Cowden Beath fans up there for the Cowden Beath game. We're stood having a drink with them in the club and these sort of things. But I think from a media perspective within England, it's not just arrogance towards the other nations. It's also similar to the Celtic and Rangers piece. You've got your Liverpool, Man United, your Tottenhams, your Arsenals and whatever. You've got your top six and the rest. What does it matter? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there are sections to lower leagues within all of the tabloids, but it is, you'll have double page spreads for Man United in the centre or Liverpool, whatever the case is, and you'll have a little section for all of the League Two games within England. So it's no different.
Yeah. Right, going to push on. A bit of an apology. I would have normally asked you a bit earlier about this, but I was enjoying the stag do story so much I got away late. For people who aren't from the UK in particular, where is Annan? Somewhere near Newcastle, I get that.
No, it's
not really.
Shall I have a go?
Go on, Paul.
Right, it's basically, if you go to the far northwest of England, you've got Carlisle.
Yep.
About 10, 15 miles northwest of that, just across the Scottish border, right in the far sort of south of Scotland, is Annan.
Yeah. Not far from
It's about 95 miles from Glasgow and Edinburgh, which are the two big cities in Scotland.
Who are your nearest rivals then? Is there any team near you?
Nearest team's Queen of the South, which is Dumfries, which is a couple of miles away. But they've never been in the same league, so there's never had a chance to build up a footballing rivalry, have they? So.
Yeah, I think that's it. The time they've been in the league, 12 years or so, the fact that Queen of the South are the nearest team and they've never been in the same division, the fact that probably when we go there, it's mainly older guys, but you're starting to see more younger kids going to watch the games. We'll see more and more younger children there. They open the gates for training. Colin mentioned the other night, they open the gates for training at the club and all this sort of thing to attract more people in. So I think they're beginning to generate that. It might generate some rivalry, but I just can't see it at that level.
Not at the minute.
Have you? I mean, how close are you to Stranraer? And that's
85 miles.
Oh Christ! So it's
a right just, down a, like, a long road.
Eight more piss stops.
875.
Oh jeez. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's about 20 cans of Strongbow from what I was calculating earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're really. I mean, how? I don't. Obviously, maybe you can't answer this, but it must have some impact on how the club can grow, being so remote. Where are the players from? Are they local, or do they come down from Glasgow, or are they English?
I think. I mean, there's a fair few English lads. I think that have come in. I mean, Steve Swinglehurst, who's probably the longest serving player there, plays in central defence. I think he's from the Carlisle area.
Yeah.
Owen Moxon's English as well. I think there's one or two that have been drafted in from, just over the border. The lad that we sponsor home and away kits for, Mark Doherty, I think he's from the Glasgow area. I think he's from, I think it's Bells Hill, isn't it?
Somewhere like that.
So they are able to attract players. But what they tend to do is scour the neighbouring junior leagues and the East and the West of Scotland League as well. So, they do look for kind of local talent as well. So
there's a lot around loan signings as well at the minute, particularly in these leagues. So say your championship players who aren't going to be playing regularly coming down and
going
on loan to some of these teams. Yeah, there's been a few guys.
They train with their parent club, do they, during the week, and then maybe what meet up and once
possibly. I mean, a lot of these players are part time anyway. I mean, they've got a day job to do, during the week, and they train what maybe twice a week. But I don't think it's as hard to attract players as people might think. Mm. It gives them a chance to go and play first team football. So I don't think it's as difficult, just because of the geography anyway.
Yeah, I was talking with the Stranraer manager, and he sort of opened my eyes a little bit. He said, "Yeah, we all live in Glasgow and we only travel down for the game." I was like, "Blimey, neck," He went, "Well, it's a long way. It really is." And then who else? It was Peterhead, way up north, and they train in Glasgow during the week.
Really?
Mm. And then, they have a bus to take the players up on the Saturday and back down. And I was like,
it's a long way up there.
It really is. I have to ask you, obviously, as I mentioned off air earlier, I was talking to some of the Clyde boys, and they all said Annan was their favourite away day. By far, I think it was playoff game a couple of seasons back. I think that really stood out in their memory. They commented on the pubs. Now, which ones would you recommend for people? Obviously, guys listening to this are probably thinking, actually, Annan sounds like does sound like a bit of fun. Actually, especially the non-league fans amongst us, sounds like a cracking. What are the best pubs? Are there any good ones near the station or good ones near the ground? Come on, then. We've got a volunteer here.
I'm going for the Paul Driver of Car Bar.
Come on, the Car Bar. Half past 8, mojito, pina colada mix. Get in.
Go on, Cole. First stop, mate. Where do we want your first stop?
I was going to say the Shed, but I was going to pass that one over to Phil, actually. But a personal favourite of mine is probably the Blue Bell, which is right on the bridge. And that's a little bit quieter, but always a cracking selection of real ales on. Yeah. It is known to Annan supporters as well. You do see the old Annan scarf in there after the game. I've tended to, if I've gone down on my own or, with one of my mates up here, we've tended to go in there after the 90 minutes and in the shed beforehand, which the shed, I think Phil will tell you more about anyway.
Is that that's more? I won't tell you what Alex, I was bladdered when I
he can't there. Remember it.
What's the point? Do you remember me, being man? In there?
Ask him about the San Siro, Adam.
Oh, yeah. Go on. Well, we went, me and Bert went to the Inter v AC Milan derby in, what was it, 2003?
Yes, yeah,
it was 2003. And basically, I fell asleep
for the whole 90 minutes. Firecrackers and all sorts.
Absolutely shit-faced. Yeah, so ask me about a pub in Annan. I mean, Jesus Christ, Colin. What do you expect?
No, fair enough.
Come on, then. The shed. The shed.
I think that was one with all the football shirts in it.
That's the one. That's the one.
The Chief. Yeah. We're going to, yeah, we talked about Chief earlier, who did the 12 cans of Strongbow, whatever it was. He got in there and he was on his arse, wasn't he? He had a couple of whiskey chasers and he perked up a bit. And then he went into the ground. When we got in the ground, he fell asleep on the terraces. Everyone was laughing at him.
Hanging off the bars.
And then he got another second wind, so his third wind. And he started giving this ginger kid a bit of abuse, didn't he? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, he was about 12.
Famous headline was, what was it? What was it? England fan gets Annan banned. Yeah. Ginger kid the finger. Something like that, anyway. But yeah.
Cut that bit, Adam. Cut that bit.
Yeah, go on now, mate. That's going on the preview. Straight in
there. There's also, what was that one when their Fenner had that thing about?
Cog set on fire. It's a local Annan paper. Like, you know the hoardings you get outside the news agents?
Yeah.
The headline was dog set on fire. So one of our idiots decided to half inch the advert.
We're not laughing at it. Can we just say this as well? We're not laughing at animal abuse. We love dogs. Yeah. I've got a dog myself, and you know, we're not.
Yeah, put your dog in your lighter down, Phil.
Yeah, rounded off on. The Annan Stag Do experience.
Sorry, we digressed a bit there.
You're on live, well, not live, but this is going out to the general public. So we do also have the on the go.
We have the commercial in as well, Adam. That's always a belter, but that's more that post game. Yeah. So Paul will give you an update on the commercial. Yeah.
So I mean, often
because you're the only one sober at that time.
Could just say that usually Graham's in bed by half five.
I was about to go there. But yeah,
right, let's tick that off.
Because I'm driving. If we leave Nottingham at 7, we get to Annan what about half 11 ish?
Yeah.
So I haven't had any. These idiots have had cans of like cocktails in the car for hours. We go in the shed. He's asleep by half 5. No, I'm not going anywhere. Not going out. So we go to the commercial room, which is like quiet. It's probably more of your everyman pub, and it's got a lot of the locals in, and it's got a nice feel to it, good beers, and it does a Saturday night karaoke, which one of our number Tim, who's not here this evening, is literally the karaoke king.
Oh God!
His performance of everyone's You Sexy.
I Believe in Miracles.
I Believe in Miracles. Sorry, it's genius. And I the Tiger. It's one of the
great. I'll send you the video, Adam. You'll love
it. He should be in the Masked Singer without a mask. It's brilliant. But I mean, yeah, the commercial in is definitely recommended for it. It's a good night. It's fine, you know.
Yeah,
that's good. Where's good to get a bite to eat there? Any good curry houses? You mentioned
after about 7 pies at the game, you don't really need anything to eat. Either.
Really, are the pies that good?
The pies are that good.
First time we had 5 each before half time.
Yeah.
And these lot go, they'll never. Next time, and 7.
2 Yorkies for a quid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
What's all that about? 2 Yorkies, proper Yorkies as well.
I've been talking to a few people recently. They said, do you get this like vast array of different pies on offer up there, or is it just your regular sort of steak and ale?
You see, I'm a Scotch pie man. A lot of people are steak pies, but you can't beat the lamb and the clear liquid. So Graham and I, our grandparents, my dad's parents.
Oh, that sounded wrong, Paul.
We grew up with like proper Scottish cooking, didn't we, from Granny? So they lived in Carlisle, but they're from Fife.
They did the Scotch pie, but they also did another one. What's the other one they did?
There was a steak pie as well. Yeah,
that's
Scotch pie. Yeah.
Yeah, they're both top notch, aren't they?
Absolutely. Oh, brilliant.
Absolutely.
Just got to take a bottle of Gaviscon as well, Adam.
It sounds like
he's doing,
he's doing
Gaviscon chases, aren't you, Bert?
There is a good curry house as well, isn't there? What's it called? Can't remember what it's called.
It's next door to the Commercial Inn,
next
I think.
Door to the commercial, yeah. Yeah. Anybody from Ireland's listening, they'll know. But
yeah.
Ah, there we go. There we go. I have to ask, obviously, you know, this season, no one's been able to get in. How has the club kept in touch? You know, have they been streaming the games? I know most of the clubs up there have.
Yeah,
Have you tuned in? What's it like?
Yeah, I did. I actually tuned in for the cup tie against Hamilton, and it was a bit surreal, to be honest with you. It was just like watching a training session, really, just because there was no crowd noise. There was no, normally when the club post the goals or the highlights, you know, from the match, you know, the day before, you can hear, you know, the crowd in the background, and you can hear it quite clearly. Mm-hmm. But it was like a vacuum, really. There was no, and it was quite a, and it was a big win, you know, against a cup upset against Hamilton. You know, they beat them they thrashed them 4-1, and it, you know, if a crowd had been there, it would have been a momentous occasion. But it just felt really quite flat, and that's, it's a shame, I think.
Fingers crossed we get back in soon. We really do. Got to ask you, well, maybe. If you've all got one each, I would imagine for you three down in Lincoln, getting to some of the away games in Scotland are pretty tough to get all the way up to Peterhead or Elgin or places like that.
But, we will be.
And
which
we will.
We'll do. Which, you know, each, you know, what ones are at the top of your bucket list of places to go to? For people listening, if you've already been there, tell me why. And if you haven't, why do you want to go there? Paul, shall we start with you?
This is for family reasons. I'd want Central Park, Haddonbeath, please. Because my dad's family are from Kelty, which is the next door town. And we've never been, but we ought to, because it would be kind of a return kind of family pilgrimage. Still got family up there. So, and Haddonbeath are perennial bottom league. You know, 300 fans turn up. Great, great former, you know, former mine in town. Proper working class Scotland. You know, it would be great to go.
And of course, the stock cars.
Oh well, I mean, yeah, obviously, of course, there was the famous April Fool's gag when it was on the record. Was it the record when they ran the Central Park's turning into a speedway track? It was brilliant. So anyway, that was years. That was a long time ago.
Put one of the goal, it was Callum Ferry, the Dundee goalie. He used to tell me when he was keeping goal at Haddonbeath a few years back, and you go out on the pitch and somebody, you know, some stock car had done donuts in the halfway line the previous night and had just turned the whole pitch up. It's great. It's absolutely brilliant. Where should we go next? Colin?
Yeah, well, I went to the playoff second leg at Clyde, so at Broadwood Stadium. So that was a couple of years ago, and unfortunately, Annan sort of ran out 2-1 losers on aggregate that day. But it was a nice enough ground. They ran out of food. I was saying this to the boys last night off air. They actually ran out of food when myself
criminal.
And completely criminal. Myself and my fiance Carrie wanted to have a pie, and they'd run out of pies. I think we were just left with crisps and chocolates. So not a good one.
That was Paul with his 14 pie wrappers.
Yeah,
yeah, but seven of them were yours.
Yeah. Oh yeah, true.
But I think the one that I'd probably want to try. You know, when we can go back, would be Stranraer. Be a good kind of seaside one away, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be a bit of a laugh.
I agree. I do agree there. Sarah, Graham.
I think I'd love to revisit Brenda's massage parlour in Stirling. That'd be a belter.
Sarah's Brenda's not there, mate.
Come on.
She'd love it. Yeah. No, I think probably, depending upon what league teams are in, I'd want to go, at the minute, it'll be Elgin. So I'd want to go as far north as we could. So whether that's Elgin, it's Peterhead, it's Cove, one of the cases. I think it's one of those things. At the minute, we've got a four-hour drive, five-hour with piss stops.
You say
we'd have another 3-4 hour drive from Annan to get up to an Elgin. But I just think as an experience, it'll be fantastic, and we'd be absolutely hammered. It'd be great.
And and finally, the man who fell asleep in the San Siro. Where would you like to go?
No, you'd take me anywhere, mate. Anywhere. I'm not bothered.
You'd sleep through it.
In all seriousness, what did he say?
I said you'd sleep through it wherever you went.
Probably would, mate. I was looking at Arbroath the other day, and is that the one that's right next to the sea?
It is.
Because I'm on a few groups on Facebook, and that looks amazing. I was thinking I could boot the ball seriously straight in the middle of the North Sea there. You know, so and also you also another one. Do you say Stranraer? Is that near the sea as well?
Yeah.
That one looks really picturesque as well. So somewhere like that, really. You know, and like you say, I'd love to do an away day with Annan. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Because, you know, let's face it, you know, they've got many fans at home, so to go away with them, amazing. Like, what? Who are you? You know,
I think if you got to Annan, they'd put you on the coach.
Oh, yeah.
They'd bus you there yourselves.
Yeah.
What
are you saying, Colin? They had a good following for the Clyde game, didn't they?
They did. Sort of up at Broadwood, I reckon they took about 400 or 500 up there,
that's amazing.
There was a good following up there that day, and I mean, yeah, fair enough. It was a big game. It was a playoff final. It didn't quite happen for them. Clyde were just a little bit too strong for them, you know, on the day and the second leg. But they went into that game, you know, with a 1-0. You know, a 1-0 advantage from the first leg, and you just thought that they might just do it, but I think all said and done, Annan being in the Football League anyway, I think, you know, they're exceeding all expectations anyway, just by being in League Two, and you know, long may it continue that they're just a league club.
Really agree. Very well said there. Thank you for that. I mean, gents, thanks so much for your time tonight. I've really enjoyed it, and all credit to you for keeping it going and keep getting yourself up to Annan after your great story with the stag do and the weekend up there. long may that continue as well. I think it's brilliant stories like this of people. You know, it's what, for me, football is all about, you know, the community clubs, bringing people together this way. And as you know, Graham, you said a few times tonight about how when you go to the club there and people treat you as one of their own, you know, you go in there and, you know, it's a wonderful story, and all credit to what's going on at Annan. And, you know, great work on the Twitter as well, not just yourselves, but with what's going on at the club, like you say, FC Clone, and I saw recently the, you know, who in the world is following us tweet there, and getting all these different people to chip in. So, yeah, good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
We'll put the Lincolnshire Gallabankies Twitter feed out. Are there any other social media feeds where people can follow you who are listening tonight?
On Instagram, aren't you, Cole?
I think, yeah, we do have an Instagram as well. So it's just the same as the Twitter account. It's at Gallabank Links, just on Instagram. So we're not on Facebook as yet, anyway. Yeah, if you want to get us on Instagram, it's exactly the same as the Twitter account. It's just at Gallabank Links. One word.
We'll put that
Adam, as Paul's based in London, if you want to fly over first game of next season into Heathrow or something, he'll pick you up. Yeah. You can get in the course.
Yeah,
you can join the car bar.
True, no problem.
And you can join cocktail roulette.
Oh, yeah, brilliant, brilliant. I'm there, guys. I'm there.
Starts at Watford Gap Services.
All right. Jeez, how many pisses is that going to be going up the M1 and the M6? It'd be super. Thanks for that, guys. Right, everyone. That's it for tonight. You'll see me somewhere with random cocktails very soon. Going up to Annan. I'm not. They're going to regret this. They really are. But till next time, I'm Adam at Ucrafoot24. You can follow me on all the social media handles, or just as good old Adam Pate on LinkedIn. Stay safe, everyone, and keep enjoying the football wherever you are in the world. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you, Adam.